Welcome everyone to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host the program with Bruce Miller, longtime entertainment reporter. You are the gold standard, gold medal journalist, reporter.
Silver. Let's go for the silver. You know, we should have that as a motto. Instead of trying to go too far, let's just go for the silver.
Go for the silver.
And then if you overshoot and you get a gold, hey, even better.
Yep. Well, what's the saying? Under promise and over deliver, right?
There you go. And, you know, really, the people who get bronze, aren't they just grateful? Isn't that what that bronze? Because you could have been shut out.
Right.
You got a bronze, so you got a medal. And I think a bronze is fine, too, as long as you have something that you can put in your showcase at home with a light on it. You're good. Yeah.
I always feel sorry for those folks that just miss. Like, I remember when I was in middle school, and somebody from my hometown went to the 1988 Winter Olympics, and he was a on the bobsled team, the four-man bobsled team.
Oh, my God.
And they just finished, like, barely off the podium. I think they were in fourth place. And it's like, you're so close. You know, if you finish 7th or 10th or 15th, you're just happy to be there. But I imagine it's got to kill you, right, if you...
And by seconds. It's probably seconds that keep you from being in... Yeah. No, I think you should be glad. If you get a medal, you're grateful.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you take home with, along with all those clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're getting all those clothes home. And now if my discipline was over, I could just go and enjoy.
Right.
Every night eating at that cafeteria. Yeah, I'll have another round.
Yeah
bring it on. And then you go see the events, because I think they give them tickets.
Yeah.
And then when it comes closer to the time to go home, well, I got to do the closing ceremonies. So hold on. I'm not leaving the room yet.
That's right. You know, I've actually, I've known a few Olympians in my day. I went to college with Christy. Well, I knew her as Christy Pierce, but her married name was Christy Rampone. And she became the captain of the U.S. national soccer team. She went to, I think, four Olympics, and she was in four or five World Cups. So she's got some gold medals in there and a couple World Cups in there. So she was really good. And I also worked with an Olympian when I first started in journalism.
What?
Somebody, because I covered, I was a high school sports reporter, and I was covering cross country. That was my first beat. And I'm not a runner. You know, they didn't assign it to me because I was like a runner.
Right.
They just gave it to me because I was a college student, and
they
were going to have me cover cross country. And they said, Terry, you're going to go out, and Elliot is going to help you out and help explain things to you. And, you know, he'll tell you everything you need to know. Elliot is Elliot Denman. Most people wouldn't know the name, but he was an Olympian. He competed in the 1956 games in, I think it was Melbourne, and he was a race walker. So he was really involved with the running community in New Jersey. He did New York City Marathon every year. I covered the New York City Marathon one year when I think I was a senior in college, and they sent me to cover it. And because of Elliot's connections in running, I had like front row press table seating at this thing. So it's like me from the Asbury Park Press, and I'm sitting next to the reporter from the New York Times, the reporter from Sports Illustrated, and then three rows behind me were all the other New Jersey sports reporters.
Hello. Well, how was he mean or was he nice?
He was one of the nicest guys I ever worked with. He was very soft spoken. He had been working. I started working at the Asbury Park Press in 1995, and I remember seeing his timesheet, and I think it said 1963 was his start date. So, you know, he had been there a really long time. I think he is still alive, but he's in his 90s now, probably.
Well, God bless him. And did he get it or not?
No, he didn't medal. He was But he was one of those folks that you know, he wasn't close. He was probably like 12th or something like that. So, you know, he's just happy to be there and competing. But yeah, he's an Olympian.
Well, I over the years, because they always would bring him out for the next year's Olympics, I have talked to a lot of Olympians. And it's fun to see how they are perhaps a little even snarkier than we would be sitting at home watching this stuff.
Yeah.
They'll pick on them. And I guess it's for them, the real question is, what do I do after this? Because
right.
Is there a career where you can, well, maybe you could be a coach of something, or maybe you could do commentary, or maybe you could use that platform to go into some kind of line of business. I remember Bruce Jenner was here several times just speaking to service clubs and whatnot. And you think, oh, if I had to relive that story over and over and over again,
right?
That'd kill me. So there is a downside to it, but they're fun to talk to. And then you always ask, where are the medals?
Right.
Do you remember Linda Frattiani? She was a women's figure skater. And she was like, and here's a trick. Don't ever let them put your picture on the front page of Sports Illustrated.
Right.
Because whoever you put on that never wins. Well, she was on the cover of that, and she was supposed to win the gold medal. It was a done deal. Don't even worry about it. And she came in silver.
Oh.
And I said, well, what'd you do with the medal? She said, it's under my bed, and I'll never look at it again.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that's I said, no, you got a silver. You want? Yeah, but she said, they built you up so much that you were supposed to win gold.
Yeah.
And I was of the mind that I didn't accomplish what I set out to do.
Yeah. My mom worked. Do you remember Dan Jansen, the figure skater? Not the figure skater, the speed skater.
Yes. How many times did he not win?
Right. And he kept falling.
He got it in the, I think it was 1,000.
Yeah, something like that. But he's from a lot of the speed skaters are from Wisconsin, and his older sister went to high school with my mom, and my mom's brother, my uncle, was in Dan Jansen's class. So my uncle was a swimmer. Dan Jansen was also an athlete. I don't know what he did in high school, but I guess they were friendly. They knew each other.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, when Dan Jansen was going for gold, it was a really, really big deal.
Well,
with some of my family. Yeah.
His sister was sick, and I think it was a wrong move. The family told him just before he was going to skate,
right,
that his sister died.
Yeah.
Now, could you not? I mean, she's dead.
Right.
Could we not wait with that information until he skates his thing?
Yeah.
And then we'll tell you.
Yeah.
But he was so, and I get it, he was so torn up about his sister because they were very close.
Right, right.
That they could have waited, and the poor guy had to come back. And then I think he did another Olympic, and nothing happened there either. And
yeah.
Then finally, his last one, he got the gold medal.
Yeah, yeah. So it was nice. I ended up getting his autograph on a poster one time. I was visiting my grandparents when I was still living out east, and visiting my grandparents in the Milwaukee area. And there's a... I don't think it exists anymore, but there was a McDonald's. It was called the Solid Gold McDonald's because they had all this memorabilia in it. You'd go in and it'd have like Milwaukee Brewers stuff. There would be stuff tied to different, you know, rock musicians that came from the Milwaukee area. It was just a pop culture. It was almost like a museum. It was pretty cool.
It was like a Hard Rock.
Yeah, but they were selling, because of his sponsorships or whatever, they were selling a poster of Dan Jansen with McDonald's on it. And my grandfather, in retirement, was a school bus driver. So he would stop at this McDonald's every day. And, you know, when you do that, like, you know people, right? You go in and they're like, hey, Bob, how are you today? So... we went in and I bought the poster, and they said, oh, you know, we can, if you want, just leave the poster here. And next time Dan comes in, we'll ask him to autograph it for you. And I'm like, all right. You know, and I have no expectation that this thing is ever going to get signed. Like, I just spent $5. It's probably never, I'm never going to see that money back. And a few weeks later, my grandparents sent me a poster, and it was autographed by Dan Jansen. He came in like every day to get his Big Mac or whatever and signed the poster.
The Dinner of Champions.
That's right. That is absolutely right. So, but have you been watching the Olympics at all?
Oh, I'm glued. I start in the morning as soon as they do. So then I know everything by the time, you know, if the day is over, it's like 4 o'clock here.
Yeah.
And then they repeat it all at night. So if I want to see it again, I have another shot at it, but I am right there with everybody.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm part of their families. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you know, because there are fewer things to watch, it's easier to get a handle on. You know, oh, I don't have to switch to USA, or is this on Peacock, or where is this? You know where it is. And so it's easier to watch, and I enjoy it. I don't know that the talent is all that good. And I don't, where did this British woman come from? There's a British woman. She's very good, but was she called in at the last minute to do commentary during the daytime? Because she's like the kind of the studio host.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, don't they have enough people hanging out in New York that they could grab one and put them in the suit and put them on there? Adam Rippon, who was a bronze medal skater, does a fine job with like few little features, the kind of stuff that you used to see from other people. And
right.
I enjoy watching him, but he doesn't always get on, you know? So, so there it is.
Yeah.
But yes, I will be there till the last flame is doused.
Yeah.
I will watch the whole thing, and I will not complain about them, even though there are things that I disagree with.
Sure. Yeah. I'm kind of with you where I've been just kind of glued to it. I'm actually not watching a whole lot of it in the evening. I'll put it on here and there, but you know, as a journalist, and an editor, if you've ever been in a newsroom, you're kind of surrounded by TVs, right? So even though I largely work from home now, I still have multiple monitors up. So I have like, you know, three monitors just for work stuff up. You know, one's got my email. Another one has things that I'm like editing. Another one has like, you know, I'm keeping track of something else. And then I have my personal computer off to the side with YouTube TV loaded up. And I'm able to kind of just monitor what's going on at any given moment, because I've got to plan out the national sports report. So I need to see, you know, like who's leading what at any given moment. And, you know, there's been times where it's like, you know, I'll leave it on mute because I don't want to be distracted by the announcers or anything like that. But every once in a while, I'll look over and see, you know, it's like, oh, those are the two quarries of curling and they're going for gold. And, you know, I'll just stop what I'm doing and throw it on for a second. And it sucks you in. Like, I'll never watch curling the other 3 years in between, but you stick it on for me for a 2 week period, and curling is the most amazing sport I've ever seen.
Well, I think I could do this one. This is one that maybe I'm not getting on skis and I'm not going to be standing on ice anywhere, but I could maybe throw a rock.
Yes. I mean, let's be honest, nothing against any of the curlers, but some of them aren't the most physically fit, right?
It's a snack bar before I do. So
yes. Yeah, it's kind of like certain sports can be, you know, the everyman, the every woman, right? It's like you can be blue collar and you can just go out and be a curler. And I know people that have done curling, and I mean, it's you can do it. It's, you know, obviously the ones at the Olympics are the absolute best of the best, but
well, and they're older, you know, most of these are 20-year-old people who are doing these things, but in curling, they can get up to 40, maybe even 50.
Right.
And that gives you hope, doesn't it?
It is. I'm in peak, Olympic form to be a curler. I just need to start doing it.
Care is ready.
I'm ready.
Can I be there and be your posse? But you have to let me wear one of the Olympic sweaters. So, with the big kind of gaudy Ralph Lauren USA. I want that. So I'd be there, and they'd have the bell. I'd be ringing the bell in the background, And then the people would turn, the camera will get on me. They go, who is that nut over there that's cheering for Terry? And well, that's Bruce. That's Bruce. So I'm your podcast doubles partner.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed. Plus, free home delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Now, you've had quite the connection to a streaming network recently.
You know, isn't this weird?
Yeah.
Have we not done too many Tubi shows? I'm questioning it. I don't know why. But I do think that Tubi is reinventing itself.
It is.
Because it kind of had like a non-identity. And now I think it's aiming for that young adult audience, the YA books people.
Yep.
And they've been making a lot of movies and things about high school kids, maybe early college age kids. And I think they're looking for that niche. So they could become the young adult Hallmark channel, if you will.
Yeah.
Because there's a new one that is coming out now over the Valentine's holiday. Kissing is the Easy Part. And I talked to the stars, Paris Burrells and Asher Angel. Now, they were big Disney kid show people. So I think this is a transition for them to move out of that and into adult roles. And it's a way for them to still keep working. Because those are hard years to get from to be a cute little Disney kid on a show. And then to get into adult films, or I shouldn't say adult films, but... more mature roles, that's a tough haul. And so I got a chance to talk to Paris and Asher. You may remember him from Shazam. Remember the movie Shazam?
Mm-hmm.
Little kid in that. Paris was in Lab Rats, if you remember that. And we talk about the movie. So here are Paris and Asher. Okay, it's Bruce Miller, Sioux City Journal. Did you two know each other during those early years of your career?
Yes.
I was a big fan. I will say that.
You're not lying or anything, right?
No, I am not. No sarcasm, like, whatsoever. No, I actually watched Lab Rats. I grew up watching Lab Rats. I'd even say Alexa and Katie as well. Yeah, no, that was definitely a part of my upbringing and growing up and watching television. That was what I was watching, Lab Rats and a lot of Paris.
And then he got to make out with me.
So then when you work together now, do you reminisce about those old days or do you talk about... what it was like
about the old days? Sorry, we just had lunch, so we have a lot of energy. I mean, when I moved here, I was 14, and I just remember having the best time because I'm from Wisconsin, and it was my first. I always wanted to act, and I got to be on a Disney show, and I was like, whoa, what is my life? I don't feel like this is real. And I just remember running around LA as a little teenager, just being like, whoa, let's go do this. Let's go.
No,
okay, let's go film our show now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the old days were great. They're awesome.
Did you go to traditional school or not?
No, we went to, we did homeschooling. So we would be on set and then they would have a school room with a set teacher.
Same with you, Asher. Was that how it was for you?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was.
When you see something like this, where they're so caught up in getting in the right school and, you know, doing the right thing and getting the high SAT scores, can you relate to that at all?
I relate to Flora of not wanting to go to college.
Yes, me too.
I didn't, but she took the SATs. I did not. But
right.
No, I knew I wanted to act, and I told my mom, I was like, I don't want to go to college. Sorry. So we made a deal.
That's a different trajectory.
Yeah. But yeah, so I relate with Flora that college isn't everything.
Right.
So
Asher, you too? Is that the same way with you?
Yeah, I probably definitely, I relate to Sean's heart. I mean, he's got a very good heart. I think he's got good intentions. Maybe Flora's parents don't have the best intentions, but they mean well, you know what I mean? But yeah, I would say he's got a very giving heart, and I think we share a lot of similarities there.
But what kind of physics club has a really buff guy as their president? Was that like an indication of you can be president if you work out a lot?
Look, I told them I just swim. You know what I mean? Like, I just swim as a Sean swims.
Sure.
Sure.
Why did you choose swim?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I swim.
Do you think you have a swimmer's body or something?
Well, no, I just swim.
Oh, you swim. Okay. If that's what you do.
But look, I'm doing it's like 1,000 yards.
Okay. I'll go with it. If you're going with that and that's what convinces you, I'm there on that page with you.
Okay, but maybe, yeah.
I could not find, if you're helping her to try and get into get the SATs already, I don't see a problem with that. I don't think that that's a bad thing to do. Am I wrong?
What was the question? Sorry.
Sure. Well, they all make this big deal about how he's helping her and the parents are, encourage it. Well, if I got a letter from them and it looked like I was going to get into MIT, I would too.
Exactly. Like, what else am I supposed to do? I wasn't raised the same way as Flora. Right. I didn't have everything respectfully given to me.
I didn't have a car like that.
Oh my God.
A little.
Oh my God. She might actually break up with me. Oh my God, if she ever heard that. She ever, see?
She's leaving.
See what you did? What we did?
I'm with you. Hey, I'm on Team Asher. Just know.
Ride or die, baby.
You know what?
Boys rule, girls too. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Is this a rite of passage, this movie that you're really, it seems a little more adult than anything you might have done. Was that what you were looking for?
Yeah, I mean, this was the first time I've done a movie that was really revolved around a love story and two people falling in love. And so that was challenging, but fun, and also just like a great experience overall. And yeah, it's a little more, mm-hmm. A little more respectfully.
And safe for you, Asher? Was it more adult for you?
Yeah, it was definitely more adult. Yeah.
And the working out that you had to do every day to make sure you look good when they had the no shirt scenes. Okay.
This guy really loves talking about you working out.
Push-ups in the trailer. That's it, though. But usually I'd get caught and she'd tell me, shut up, stop.
I would say,
no eating.
Yeah, sure.
No eating today. We're not eating anything because I've got to do a shirtless scene. Okay, we're good. Right? Thank you guys so much and great good luck with this.
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Do push-ups again now. Get ready.
Yes.
Thanks. Bruce, thank you for that interview. You know, I'm convinced one of my daughters is just watching these Tubi movies because I've mentioned a few of these in the past when you've talked about them, and she knows exactly what it is. And we don't exactly watch Tubi on the big screen that often. I think this is one of those things where the kids today, they're downloading the apps on their phones and they're just finding these things, and it is appealing to them through social media or whatever.
Find out what she thinks of this one.
I will.
I was pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed watching it. You know? But then we go to the next step, which is adult romance stories.
Oh yeah.
And Ryan Murphy, who's done American Horror Story, American Crime Story, he does a lot of these things. Well, he's got another umbrella thing called Love Story.
Okay.
First one in the series is John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette. It's very respectful.
Okay.
This is not one that it looks like it's page six. Some of the things that he does can be very scandalous.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think this one has it at all, unless I've only seen 4 of the 8 episodes. So if it gets real bad and snarky in the last 4, well, I mea culpa, but I think it handles that relationship well. It reminds you of things that you don't remember from that period of time, And it makes you, I like both of them. The actors who play the roles, you know, they're largely unknown, but they do a good job of reminding you who these two were. And what's fascinating is you see her at work where she's what they called a VIP whisperer at Calvin Klein.
Which, okay.
That she would go to events and then just talk to, you know, kind of mingle.
Yeah.
And so that's how, you know, she kind of meets him. And then he sends her roses to the office and she has to refuse them because Calvin Klein doesn't like roses or any other flowers but white orchids in the office.
Uh-huh.
A little bit more about people like Calvin Klein. You think, huh, I never knew that about Calvin Klein. And if anything, they give her a little more credit for some of the decisions that Calvin Klein made. But apparently she dated one of those Calvin Klein underwear models at one point too. So there are little tidbits that you get from this, but nothing that you would say, oh, there's going to be a lawsuit here, because it is what it is. But I thought it was very respectful and it was a love story. And so that's kind of cool. But that's starting now and it's an 8-episode run.
Okay. I mean, John F. Kennedy Jr., wasn't he one of, like, People Magazine's most sexiest men alive at one point?
And, you know, he had his own magazine, George. Did you ever read George?
I did not, no, but I remember it.
We had somebody from here who wrote for George. And we looked at, you know, he'd get the magazine all the time. And it was like, huh, this is interesting, but do I care about politics enough that I want a magazine on it?
Right, right.
But it was glossy and it looked good. And in those days, magazines were really big things.
Yeah, no, I remember it launching. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, the tragedy of the Kennedy family and how he and Carolyn Bessette ended up dying. Just really unfortunate. But yeah, so, Ryan Murphy's just everywhere. It just seems like no matter what miniseries comes up, he's somehow tied to it.
Yeah, he's got his finger on the pulse of something, but I don't know that he needs to do all those things. But then, you know, it could be somebody else's idea. And then he says, yeah, that's good. Let's put it under our umbrella of this.
Right.
And then they're doing the work and he's kind of taking the credit, if you will.
Right. I mean, you know, executive producer, you're right. The money man. You're not necessarily.
Right. He gets others to say yes.
Right, right. He's not necessarily writing the script or any of that stuff. He's involved, but not. It varies from project to project. So it sounds like what channel's airing that one? Is that a Hulu one? FX
and then FX on Hulu. Yeah.
Okay.
What have you been up to?
Well, if not for the Olympics, it's been Bridgerton, all Bridgerton. Getting caught up on that. It's season 4. So we're. This is the story of Benedict. Remember, there's each of the Bridgerton children. It's like A, B, C, D, E, F, right? Can you name them all? Can you do it?
Well, no, you can. I can't.
I can. You ready? I can do it. I'm not even looking at anything. It's Anthony, Benedict, Colin, Daphne, Eloise, Francesca, Gregory, and Hyacinth. I think that's it. Did I do it?
So good.
Oh, I'm so good.
So proud of you. Gold medal.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is a show that if you knew me, you probably like Terry watches Bridgerton, but I don't know. It just kind of sucks me in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll do modern music too. So
that's and I do sit there trying to think like, okay, what, you know, because they use, it's like the Vitamin String Quartet plays modern music in, you know, with strings and violins and all that. But I'm trying to figure that out, but it's a fascinating show. Obviously not very realistic to the time because it's, you know, they've obviously taken an approach of, you know, we're open and you know, people of all races and colors and ethnicities are welcome. And we know back in the 1700s, it was a very, you know, white centric atmosphere. But I, you know, as far as the show goes, I think they do a nice job with that in making it open and accepting for everybody, you know, whether or not it meets reality or not for the times. But it's been a good show. I don't know. This season's been a little bit slow so far.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. You know, is this a show that can sustain itself? Can they actually make it through all whatever eight kids it is?
No.
You know, it's the same thing every year, right? It's this one is kind of we'll call it a Cinderella story, right? And it has nothing to do with golf and Caddyshack when I say Cinderella story. This is
like a real Cinderella.
Right. Like Benedict has no aspirations for settling down and marrying. And mom walks in on him at his bachelor pad and he's like naked in bed with two women and she's, you know, losing it and everything. But he's taken the first ball of the season is at the Bridgerton house and it's a masquerade ball. So you can't see who these people are, even though you presumably know who they all are. Right. And he's taken by this woman who's there. And it turns out that she is a servant for another house. Uh-oh. Who sneaks in with her mask and Benedict is taken by her. But it feels like we haven't learned the full story yet. She seems to possibly have some links to nobility. And it has kind of that, you know, wicked stepmother type of feel to it also. So it we're definitely taking a cue from Cinderella where this story ultimately goes. You know, it's probably predictable and easy to figure out, like, you know, and I haven't seen the back end. They've only released the first four episodes. The second four come at the end of February. If I were to call it now, I'm going to assume that Benedict and the mystery woman, they fall in love and they get married. And as it turns out that she's actually of noble blood and it isn't going to be scandalous, but we'll see what happens.
And then we never see him again.
And then we never see him again because it seems like we keep losing Bridgerton kids. They keep vanishing and never be seen.
They go off and do Wicked. That's what happens.
That's exactly what happens, right? I mean, you know, the first couple from the first season, they've been nowhere to be seen ever since.
How are you doing with watching the Oscar films? Are you getting near the run of them?
We'll check in again next week. How about that?
Because we're getting closer to that time.
I know. I just, it's tough to carve out the time. I gotta sit down and get a few more in.
Okay. I'm not gonna handicap it just yet, but I'm asking you to weigh in on those because we're getting closer and closer. So,
yep.
But meanwhile, we're going for gold. Or
we are going for gold. Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. So, A lot to watch. There's stuff on Tubi, FX for Hulu. Bridgerton is on Netflix. Wrapping up the Olympics. We're coming to a close on that soon. But, you know, we'll be back again next week. Thank you for listening and tune in again for another episode of Streamed and Screened.
Dinner time. It's where little moments are cherished. With Blue Cash Preferred, get 6% cash back at U.S. supermarkets and bring everyone together. I did say everyone. Learn more at americanexpress.com/explore-bcp. Terms and cashback cap apply with Blue Cash Preferred.